The disease is called white nose syndrome. It's a white powdery substance which coats the muzzles and wings of hibernating bats, rousing them from torpor in the dead of winter. They end up burning critical fat reserves, and some even venture out to feed, where they either freeze to death or starve. Federal wildlife authorities say certain little brown bat populations infected with white nose syndrome have declined as much as 97%. More than a million bats have perished so far. White nose syndrome was first discovered in caves near Albany, New York, by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation in the winter of 2007. Since then, scientists have struggled to secure funding to study the disease. Congress eventually approved $1.9 million to research the cause of white nose syndrome. And finally, last month, scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey National Wildlife Health Center in Madison, Wisconsin, confirmed the cause of white nose syndrome, a fungus called Geomyces destructans. Scientists kept healthy little brown bats in cold confinement for 100 days and exposed them to the fungus. They developed white nose syndrome. Here's David Blair, U.S. Geological Survey microbiologist and an author of this study, providing comment on a USGS podcast.
This study was conducted based on a strict medical or pathology definition for white nose syndrome, based upon observation of a characteristic skin lesion caused by Geomyces destructans. And based upon this definition, we were able to cause white nose syndrome in 100% of the bats that we infected.
Scientists also discovered the disease is spread through bat-to-bat transmission. They suspect white nose syndrome originated in European bat caves called hibernaculum, but populations there are not affected by the fungus. Scientists believe that's likely because European bats are larger and environmental conditions may be different. But white nose syndrome is spreading rapidly in the United States, in part due to mechanical transmissions, for example, by cavers picking up spores on their boots. That's why U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recommended universal precautions, restricting access to many caves.
We know that the fungus grows on bats exuberantly. In doing so, it's rapidly multiplying and making more of itself and more infectious units in the form of spores. And so if you have a cave with thousands of bats, there's great potential for the fungus to amplify and grow and infect more animals.
Geomyces destructans thrive only in specific cold and damp conditions, so humans, pets, and other wildlife are not at risk for contracting the disease. White nose syndrome has been documented so far in 13 states in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Midwest, and in two Canadian provinces, Ontario and Quebec. The presence of the fungus has also been confirmed in Missouri and Oklahoma, but so far not in Arkansas. Chuck Bidding is a geologist with the National Park Service stationed on the Buffalo National River Park.
Well, in approximately July of 2009, we closed nearly all of the 360 caves on Buffalo National River because of our concern about white nose syndrome and the potential of what was, at that time, it was believed that the fungus was the cause of the disease, but it wasn't proven.
The National Park Service ordered Buffalo National River Park to close its caves because it's the most cave-rich unit on the national park system. That same year, U.S. Forest Service agents also closed more than 800 caves in Arkansas. Devil's Den State Park also shut down its caves to recreationists. Now that scientists know the cause of white nose syndrome, they can work to combat the spread of the disease using experiments on bats in a laboratory setting. But in the meantime, all cave closures will remain in effect to protect bat colonies here.
Bats are extremely important. In the Ozarks, bats are the primary predator for night-flying insects. And, you know, a lot of people think mosquitoes, and mosquitoes are a nuisance to us, and actually they are a health threat to humans and our dogs and our livestock and wildlife. But also insects like moths. Moths are night flyers, and they cause a lot of damage to crops and even forest resources. So bats eat these things at night, and they eat huge numbers of them. A colony of bats, 100 bats, can eat a lot of insects every evening.
One flock of 150 bats can consume up to 1 million insects a year. Bats are critical to the protection of our fruits and vegetable crops. By feasting on noxious pests like stink bugs, leafhoppers, and cucumber beetles, one published study valued bat bug predation nationwide at $3.7 billion annually. Wildlife biologists in Arkansas are monitoring any incursion for white-nose syndrome.
As of now, to my knowledge, there have been no reports of white-nose syndrome on any bats in Arkansas. There have been a few cases where a bat's appeared suspicious, but they have not proved out to be affected with white-nose syndrome.
The question is, why have bats here not contracted the disease?
I don't know, and I hate to speculate, but I will say that sometimes I think that it's just perhaps being in the, you know, the right place, the right time. That we may be spared, or we may not be spared. We may just not realize it, because our surveys of bat caves are not they're not totally comprehensive. And each year we don't survey every bat cave because we want to spread the impact of the surveys out over a couple of years and not hit all of them each year, because that every time we survey a bat cave in the winter, it causes impact to that colony. And if we did that year after year after year, it would probably cause mortality in the colony just from the disturbance. So there's a lot of colonies that don't get inspected each year, surveyed each year. And it could be that, or it could be that my hope is we're far enough south that the hibernation period short enough for the bats that the fungus never really gets a good foothold.
USGS concurs with this suspicion, saying that high mortality has not been reported as the disease moves west. So climate conditions may impede white-nose syndrome here. In Arkansas, we have 16 species of bats, and the Ozark Highlands contain thousands of caves and fissures, critical habitat for the rare Ozark big-eared bat, as well as the endangered gray and Indiana bats. National Park Service geologist Chuck Bidding advises hikers who come across any distressed bats near any caves in the Ozarks to contact authorities.
Actually, if they see a bat floundering in the winter outside of a cave, they should probably either call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Conway Field Office. I don't have the phone number just off the top of my head. Or contact the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, and they have a bat biologist who can also assist. But they should not handle the bat. They should not pick up the bat. They should try to contact someone so that samples, tissue samples or whatever, can be sent off to the various labs that are working on this white-nose syndrome problem.
Protecting bats is critical. Even though they can live for several decades, an average female bat breeds only one pup per year. And according to the U.S. Geological Survey, half of all U.S. bat species hibernate in caves and mines. So far, 7 species have been affected. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froehlich.